You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. We now present the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan.
Welcome to the Catechism Hour with me, Brother Justin Bunyan of the Heralds of the Gospel. Today's subject, we're talking about salvation and the salvation plan. In the last weeks, we've kind of gone through the various building blocks of that plan. Original sin, the angels, who is God, what is creation, how do we find God? But the salvation story, the salvation plan is very important, and it's going to take several episodes for us to look through properly. Our first point is to look at the very structure of the Bible. The Old Testament, actually has its root in the word covenant, is a progressive book. It continually moves forward in the growth of a people, the forming of a people. And it's rather large. Not all of us have the time or the means to read the whole Old Testament. Some of us have, which is rather praiseworthy. But what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at the first of the patriarchs, the great fathers of the faith. First of which is Abraham, or Abram. Abraham was his name after his call. Abram was his name before. But the first question is, why do we call him great in faith? And you see that faith was the most important element in his calling. It wasn't so much knowledge, but his great faith. If you open up your Bibles and you start at Genesis 12, we encounter Abram. Abram is called, his wife is called Sarai, and they are called out of their home, which is in Ur, which is in southern Iraq. As the term is, he's a wandering Armenian. He is part of a people, and he's called out of that and told to go to a new place. A place which is different, a place that will be given to him if he accepts God, if he submits to God, if he adores God. And Abram has faith. With the faith of Abram, God begins a process of formation of this great father of the faith. The next step is the separation of Abraham, and Lot. This is a very difficult separation because Abraham has a lot of esteem for his nephew. And we find this in chapters 13 and 14 of Genesis. This later on will bring us to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Moving forward, the promise of children for Abraham. He doesn't have any children. His wife is sterile. And we find that in Genesis 15 to 18. And finally, Genesis 21, we find the birth of Isaac. This is a very tumultuous area. This is many chapters which go through this ebb and flow of this journey of faith of Abraham. Why was this very important for the early Jews, later Jews? The Jews at the time of our Lord, the Second Temple period. Why was this very important for early Christians? The formational element is one of the points that's usually called upon. The fact that it takes time. For us humans, we don't like that. But this time is something we have to learn to understand through the eyes of God. God doesn't have time. We do. And this form of formation, we need to learn. But unfortunately, our first segment is up. So we're going to have a break. A music break, also station identification. And then we'll be back and we'll continue with our view of Abraham and how that can impact us in our life of faith. Be back in a moment.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan.
We see that promises take a long time. And time is something that God doesn't have. Time is a creature of God. Like everything else that exists in our created world, it's for us. While we need time. We age. We have a beginning. We have an end. We worry about our mark on the world that we live in. And this was one of the problems that Abraham had. Abraham did not have children. And in that culture, in that world that he lived in, when you did not have children, that meant you died and no one would remember you. So God comes and makes this covenant, this great covenant with Abraham. His first promise is numerous descendants to become a great nation. A great nation who will adore God, one God, not the plethora of the many gods that existed at that time in that pagan world of Cana and of all the other nations in that area. But a promised land to live in, a nation to live in, a place to live in. This was again very important because it was a very small area surrounded by desert. And if you didn't have a place to live, you'd become migrant peoples. A great blessing to be given to all people through his descendants. That's a massive phrase. What does that mean? Let's take a look at Psalm 21, verses 3 and 4. I quote, "For you have prevented him with the blessings of sweetness. You have set his head a crown of precious stones. He asked life of you, and you have given him length of days forever and ever." This is one of the Davidic prophecies which are attributed to Abraham. Don't forget, Abraham was quoted and understood in Jewish tradition as where the souls of the good who couldn't go to heaven yet would reside until the moment that heaven and its Messiah would come. A question that comes up many times when people review the story of Abraham is, why did God change his name? And we'll see this again and again, God taking individuals, changing their name. Abraham, Abram, to Abraham. Sarai, to Sarah. Why? Why was this so important? God gave him a new name, post-covenant. It showed in the covenant, don't forget, I explained what a covenant was before. A covenant is a relationship between unequal partners. One who gives more than the other one can possibly ever return. Father-child, mother-child, God, his people. A child can never return what they receive from their parents. A people can never return to their God what they have received. And considering the prior history that has already been part of our story so far, the Great Fall in Eden, this covenant was coming from a position where God had all the cards. He owed us nothing. He made us out of nothing, and we disobeyed him in what little was being asked. So his change of name shows his covenant, and it shows a new mission in the life of Abraham and Sarah. In our Christian lives, we have baptism and confirmation. In baptism, we are given a name. That is the transformation of creature to a child of God. Confirmation is when we affirm our belief in what our godparents had once said. Religious vows, when a person takes on the vows of religious life, in many an order, they change their name also. They take a new name. And that individual, may say, the person known in the world as Joe Smith, is now Brother Martin of the Cross, etc., etc. Nuns, it's very common, in which they will say the world knows of this person. That person is now dead. The new person we take on a name they have a special devotion of. A wife takes their husband's last name, forming of a new family. The Pope takes a name when he becomes Pope. We see this common concern, which is the taking of a new name, which changes something. As it says in the Old Testament, God calls us by our name. This is very important when we're looking at this question of Abraham. Abraham is called by God by Abram, and then God himself changes his name to Abraham. Sarai is changed to Sarah. And then going from there, they follow in faith this new line of life, going to a foreign country, living as strangers. And the answer to their prayer, to their covenant, to their new reality will take longer than their very lives. Abraham will die without seeing the end of his covenant in its completion. His son Isaac will do likewise, as will Jacob. And then the family will go to Egypt, grow into a great nation, and with Moses will come back into Cana and will take the promised land. You see, the faith of these three patriarchs is very important. What virtues did Abraham exhibit? He shows faith, trust, obedience, and how many others? Think about it. What type of faith would you have to change everything about yourself, to disown your own family, to leave that place which is home in search of what God wants you to do? Many of us are called in this very same way, in these ways of faith, be it in the way of matrimony, or be it in religious life, in which we're called towards a direction which we do not see a clear answer. We don't see it as something which we can say, I have a guarantee. There are certainties. When we are stricken in health, there are no certainties. There are hopes. But in faith, we walk in the light of God. We trust. Like a child trusts their parent. You see a child with their parents, and they reach out to their parents, and there is no concern that their parent will not be there. The child reaches out knowing that their parent will be there for them. When their child cries at night for their parent, they know their parent will come to them. They don't distrust. But we do. Unfortunately, we lack that trust which we should have, that childlike trust. Not childness, but childlike. Obedience. Now, obedience is fascinating, and I would like at one point do an episode on the origins of the word obedience and to listen, hear, so the various words, which actually in Aramaic all had the same roots. We listen in the Old Testament. Listen, Israel. The Lord is one. We hear that again and again. The prophets calling out to Israel to listen. And the reality is that to obey and to listen were actually the same word. So Israel had as much of a problem with their listening as it was with the virtue of obedience. And in a covenant which calls us into faith, obedience is very important. And how many other virtues are there? Can we call to mind that Abraham exhibits and shows us detachment, so on and so forth. I'm going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, 8 to 13. Let's read it together. By faith, he that is called Abraham obeyed and to go out into a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he abodes in a land of promise as a strange land dwelling in cottages with Isaac and Jacob, the co-heirs of the same promise. For he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. By faith also Sarah herself, being barren, received strength to conceive, even past the time of age, because she believed she was faithful to who was promised. For which cause there sprung even from one, and from him a good as dead, as stars of heaven as multitudes, and as the sand which the seashore innumerable. All these died according into faith, not having received the promise, but beholding them from afar, saluting them, and confessing that they as pilgrims and strangers on this earth. Isn't that fascinating? All of these died according to faith, not having received the promises, but beholding them afar. Their faith could see what their eyes could not see. And they saluted them and confessed them as pilgrims and strangers on this earth. That is something we are called to as the church pilgrim, as strangers on this earth, because our homeland is heaven. This is why it's so important. This is why Abraham's case is so important for us to use as an example for ourselves. If we become attached, then we are in trouble because we will not go to that foreign land which God calls us. We will not go to that land, that city whose foundations were made by God and whose foundations were built up by him. We will not abode in a land of promise and be as strange people in a strange country. We will not be like that person of faith who, barren without the grace of God, but with the grace of God, receives the strength to conceive the word of God within ourselves. So it has much for us to build with, much with us to go with. Abraham is truly, as the book of Hebrews puts it, one of the great heroes of faith. Our father in faith, as it's called in the Eucharistic prayer. Abraham is in all such an example for us. After the break, we're going to look at how he is a prefigurement of great things to come. The cookie crumbs which God leaves for us to see what the greater plan is, to help us detach ourselves from ourselves so that we can open ourselves up, to give the best of ourselves so that at a later point, the great promises will find rich soil to bloom in. Thank you.
to the Catechism Hour. Here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice, wherever you are. To contact us, you can tweet us at Radio Maria Can or email catechismhour@radiomaria.ca.
Welcome back. We were looking at the faith of Abraham and the quote from the book of the Hebrews. I wanted to continue a little bit more on the book of the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, just so that we can get what the early church, we're talking probably around 40 to 60 AD, we're talking about the Old Testament and about Abraham in particular, and the role of faith and the role of faith of Abraham. So we have a proper understanding. Abraham is not just some type of individual, a patriarch, an important guy, which we can kind of walk over. He's so important. Let me continue the quote that I had read earlier. We're starting from 14th point. For they say these things do signify, and they seek a country. But truly, if they had been mindful of that from where they came out, they had doubtless time to return. I'll continue on to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered Isaac. He had received the promises offered up by his only begotten son, to whom it is said, in Isaac shall be thy seed, and according to God, to be able to raise up even from the dead, whereupon also he received him as in a parable. For faith also things come to Isaac and blessed in Jacob and Esau. I'll stop at that point because we're going to go back to this text in the next couple of weeks when we talk about the role of Isaac and of Jacob. But this is very, very important, understanding where people came from, where the early church thought about it. Now, prefigurements are very important because these were the cookie crumbs. There are various peoples who are prefigurements. We talked about the new Adam and the new Eve being Jesus and Mary, how Jesus was nailed to the cross, a tree that, in a sense, that Adam betrayed all that he had. Let's look at some prefigurements that are fulfilled in the person of Abraham. Descendants as a great nation or kingdom. We find that in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Jesus fulfills it fully with the birth of his church. The spiritual descendants of Abraham spread to the four corners of the world today. Luke chapter 4, verse 43, and John 18, verse 36. Just think about it. All of us Christians are descendants, spiritual descendants of Abraham. Abraham is our father in faith. Far more beautiful than that of being true descendants, but followers of his faith. The promised land that was given to Abraham in Genesis 15, 7 to 21. We see it fulfilled in Jesus, in John 14, 2. In a sense, Abraham was a prefigurement of Jesus Christ. And in offering up everything, it was like when Jesus was in the Garden of Olives, willing to drink of that chalice to its end, though he knew what that would be. The offering of the blessing of eternal life, Genesis 22. We see this in various parts in John's Gospel, that Jesus fulfills it. We see it in John 3:16, John 6:54, and in verse 68 of John's Gospel, chapter 6. This sense of faith in actions coming through becomes more relevant when we look at the life of Jesus. When Jesus fights and confronts the Pharisees, he denies that they are children of Adam, of Abraham. Because they said, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do as Abraham did. We ourselves, as descendants of Abraham, must we do the same as Abraham? Walk in faith, though everything seems dark. Can you imagine the walk of Abraham up Mount Moriah with Isaac, his only child, him, a man of ancient age, saying, this is my only child, and I am to sacrifice him. But he had faith. And that faith that brought him to that point. That should be something which should help us along the way, along the route and that path. There are two paths that we can take. One that is broad and beautiful. One which is smooth and shiny. And that route usually doesn't take us well. That takes us to ruin. But the mountain path, the path that Abraham took up Mount Moriah, is the path that we are called in faith. It's difficult. It's stony. It's winding. It's dirty. It's complicated. It's filled with thorns that cut. But it's true. It's a true path. At this point, I would like to take a phrase from John Paul II in his apostolic letter, Redemptoris Mater, the mother of the Redeemer, in the idea of the path of salvation. Just for us to help us to understand, what does it mean on this path of salvation? I quote, "The mother of the Redeemer has a precise plan, place in plan of the salvation, Or, quote, "When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Galatians chapter 4, 4-6. This is the introduction of Redemptoris Mater. If we look at the plan of salvation in the Old Testament, and we forget the role that Our Lady has as the new Eve, we forget the other side of each of these patriarchs in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have Abraham, we have Isaac, and we have Jacob. If we're not careful, we may forget the great matriarchs of the Old Testament also. We have Sarah. We have Rebecca. We have Leah and Rachel. These great matriarchs are important because they formed their sons, their children. Their faith stiffened the resolve of their husbands, of their children. They were a great link point between one and the other. And this link is so important that without it, you wouldn't have a connection. Sarah. Everyone knows that the faith of a child is born on the knee of their parent, usually their mother. And in this case, Sarah brings up Isaac in faith. Though when the three visitors come and they tell her that she is going to have a son, she laughs as though she's already heard that story before. And when she does, she is joyful. She brings up her child in faith. Can you imagine the type of faith that Isaac must have had at the moment when he realizes that he is the victim to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah? When he comes back as a good son, who did he speak to? He most likely spoke to his mother and explained how everything came through. When Isaac had his doubts, it was his mother that he went to. When Abraham had his doubts, it was his wife that he went to. But in this walk of faith, the spirit within us which keeps us going is that spirit which calls out Abba, Father. Abba meant, in our common vernacular, daddy. It's a very vernacular, very, very close term. It is not a distant term. God is not meant to be far. And we look at these patriarchs and the way in which they cried out to God. They cried out to a God who was close, not distant. When we look at the process of salvation, there's the plan of salvation, yes, but the process of salvation, it's very important because it begins with the grace of God, which touches our souls and calls us to repentance. This grace we don't merit. It proceeds and comes to us by the love and mercy of God. We receive or reject this inspiration of God. We may turn to God, or we may remain in our sin. But grace does not force the soul to convert. God's grace did not force Abraham to accept the covenant. It was an invitation. Our free will was principal. We are always offered a solution from sin toward salvation. God promises us, reveals to us his love. The soul fears God's justice, hopes for his mercy, trusts that God will be merciful to him for Christ's sake. Begins to love God for the source of all justice, hates and detests his own sins, and this disposition is followed by a justification in which we've decided we are going to break away from the life that we had followed. And this is a step beyond the remission of our sins. The sanctification, renewal of the inner person is when we voluntarily receive God's graces and gifts. This is what we see in the transformation of Abraham. A man becomes just instead of unjust, a friend instead of a foe, and so an heir to the hope of eternal life. This change happens because an act of charity, which is started by God himself. And this act usually begins or has its element within the sacrament of baptism, our impenance, in which the soul laden with sin frees itself from the sin. But whose merits are all these? These are the merits of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the action of the Holy Spirit. The charity of God breaks through the hardness of our hearts, and then we become justified. Though we're justified by God's action, but God is making an invitation. We have the ability to enter into that convivium, enter into that relationship in the same way Abraham enters into that relationship with God. We too are also invited into that relationship. If we don't want it, through free will, we can do whatever we wish. We can go in what direction we desire. But that's where it's so important. Free will. Adam had free will. Abraham had free will. Noah had free will. All these individuals had free will. Cain had free will. Abel's offering was an offering of free will. Cain became jealous and killed him using his free will. So we have to look at human person as a social animal inside of God's plans. God may have plans for us, but we have to give our consent. So that consent is taken with us saying yes. Like big yes, even though we may not understand what may happen, may be difficult. But it's a calling that each one of us is given. Each one is called by name in the same way Abraham was. Those merits that were given to us are not given because we're great. They're given to us because we are poor. They're not given to us because we are worthy, but because we are unworthy. They're given because of God's love. So this plan of salvation is an amazing trek in which each step costs, but God is there with his hand to drag us up if we so need it, if we so desire it, if we put out our arms. Our hands grasp his, and there we are pulled up. So it's up to us. Our next episode will be about Isaac and Rachel, and we'll see how they continue this journey. They, as a head of a new people, they represent all of us. We should see ourselves in them. And by seeing ourselves in them, we can reflect on the good and on the mistakes that they make. And we can find things that tag ourselves also with the same problems. So we don't become despondent with our own faults and failings and sins, nor become too overjoyed with our successes. So, going forward, as we're now in our last 5 minutes of this episode, please go over those biblical quotes that we talked about. Galatians 4, chapter 4, 4 to 6. Read it over and ask ourselves, where do I fit into this story? Ask ourselves in Hebrews, these great heroes, do I know their stories? We know the stories of so many people, but do we know about the stories of those that really count? And that's up to us. I'll post on Facebook, on the Catechism Hour, some of the quotes that we used today, so you can take a look at, read them up. Read about Abraham and Lot in that failed relationship in which Abraham interceded with God himself for the salvation of Lot. And Lot, unfortunately, through his mediocrity, did not return that love. And it's through Lot and his two daughters that two of the peoples who most hate the Israelite people, the Amorites and the Moabites, will be descendants. It's fascinating that from Abraham, his family become two of the greatest enemies. Sarah, what a hero. And we usually do not emphasize enough on her. So with these, I'll post it up on the show notes. If anyone would like to ask any questions, you can write to Radio Maria, or you can go directly to the Facebook page, the Catechism Hour, and I'll answer as soon as possible. So hoping you and everyone else a blessed week. Until we see you again, God bless.
You have been listening to the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.